much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We interrupt our normal program to cooperate in security and civil defense measures as requested by the United States government. This is a Conelrad radio alert. Normal broadcasting will now be discontinued for an indefinite period.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hey. You know what I was thinking about the other day, folks? Dinosaurs. Crazy, right?
Yeah, when I talk to it, it says you have to speak in American English.
Yeah.
What other kind of English is there? Is there British?
Thanks for asking. I'm going to put this as delicately as I know how. You can chortle my balls.
Mind hell. I deserve this.
Get ready. Time yourself on this one. You can go to the bathroom. You could, take the dog for a walk, but bring your transistor radio with you.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Level test, level test, level test, test.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Let's do famous threesomes for 200, please.
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
Roll another one.
Rady and Durf.
Just like the other one.
Ugh, I'm a sweaty pot.
This one seems to be about Quinn.
I just realized I do not know this bitch.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Roger that. Hear you loud and clear.
Is down on the phone.
Just like the other one.
Don't mess with my cheese, bro.
This one seems to be about
spend. Bonk, bonk.
And I don't have another cent.
You're living in a nightmare that starts at the crack of dawn.
Dude, time to hit the exercise machine.
Just pass it around.
Oh, no, you did not.
Viva la France.
We'll just pass it on down.
And now.
I'm just full of number ones. So it's better than being number two. Or going number two.
Our feature presentation.
Right?
Yes.
Right. Welcome in to yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Fry-yay.
Day.
Yay!
Come on!
Got a little support, a little something in my corner there. Thank you, Jensen.
You're welcome.
The 14th of September. By the way, I haven't listened to KLOS in a long time. Is it still September over there?
Oh, I hope so. Yeah.
Because usually right after October, before October, you get September.
Yeah.
Is that where they all celebrate my favorite Marx brother?
No, that's Zeppo you're referring to. This is Led Zeppelin they do, right.
Bummer.
But they do, as I understand, for many, many years, it was always September, and they would always, get the lead out.
Sure.
And bring down the hammer of the gods, and they did it all. So I feel terrible that here we are halfway through the month already. I haven't even checked in on September.
Mm. I have to think it's still going on purely for the ratings.
Yeah. I miss Mark and Brian.
You know what? I thought about them the other day.
Did you?
Really?
I won a contest as a kid.
Oh.
When I grew up here my whole life. And they were like, first 20 callers get a lunchbox.
Oh.
And so I called in and they sent me a lunchbox as a kid. I won and I kept it for way too long.
Interesting.
I had it for like 15 years and I'm moving and I'm starting to go through things. And I'm like, where's my Mark and Brian lunchbox? I don't know where it is.
I remember as a kid, my parents had season tickets to the Kings games before I was even born.
Mm-hmm.
So we would go all the time. And during one stretch where the Kings were pretty good for a minute, way back when, they had something called the Lucky Butt on their show.
Hmm.
And they brought a man to drop his pants and rub his butt on the ice before the game. And I thought, well, these guys, Mark and Brian, sure are edgy.
Yeah, Hall of Famers.
This is crazy what they're doing.
Radio legends.
They would never allow that promotion today, I'll tell you that.
Oh, the lucky butt? No. I actually, when I started hanging out and filling in here, the first thing the brass told me, no lucky butt.
Yeah. I ruined that for everyone, Jensen, just so you know.
Fair.
I never really heard Mark and Brian much because when Kevin and I moved to Southern California in late 1989, they were already on the air and were on their rocket ride to number one. Yeah. It's hard to remember now how popular they were. They were one of the biggest radio shows in Los Angeles history.
Yeah, they had a TV show.
They had a TV show, The Adventures of Mark and Brian. Didn't last long, but on a network, right. So I almost never heard them, but the things that I did hear made me feel like that show was not for me.
I don't think it was. I think it was a real time capsule of the mediocre 80s and early 90s. Abdul of shows, if one might say.
Okay. Yeah.
And they seem like very nice guys. And I've had some online interaction with Mark Thompson over the years. And he seems like a very nice guy. And I guess it was a somewhat acrimonious breakup. Like they don't talk. Then did Brian go off and like not even end up getting another job or something? Like where did he go?
I don't know. I think he did a podcast for a bit with the woman from the Love Boat that held the thing with all the itineraries on it.
Well, now you're just doing Mad Libs. You're just literally saying whatever comes to mind. There's no way that
Julie from the Love Boat? Is that a thing?
Did a podcast with one of Mark and Brian?
Yes, with Brian. I am almost positive. Or it was a fever dream.
Okay. I mean,
insane.
Could be either way.
Insane.
Well, I'm glad we spent this time reminiscing about Mark and Brian.
Well, I'm bummed they have that podcast because I'm really into the one that has Shadow Stevens and the neighbor from Married with Children. If you want to just name
just
people
throw
and then
things out.
Throw sitcom stars out for podcasts, I'm here all day.
Yeah. One more thing. When we started, we were terrible, of course, and still are in a lot of people's opinion. But the biggest knock we got was you guys are ripping off Mark and Brian. You guys are trying to be like Mark and Brian because we were two, white guys in their 20s who were doing a radio show. So clearly we were trying to, bite on them. But neither of us, we both moved to L.A. having never heard that show, and we're just doing what we did. But people assume because we came after Mark and Brian that we were ripping them off.
Well, and that bit you did, Lucky Scrotum.
Well, yeah. Lucky Scrotum.
That was a lot.
That was a lot.
It was just a coincidence, and I'm standing by that.
Guys, I just looked it up.
Yeah.
He did a podcast with Jill Whelan, who is best known for her role as Vicky Steubing, the daughter of Captain Steubing from the Love Boat.
Oh, boy.
I was a Love Boat adjacent on that one.
You were very close. I think that's a win for you.
Yeah. I feel like it is. Thank you.
I feel like even she forgets the role she played on Love Boat, so congratulations.
She was also the one in Airplane that remember the nun was playing the guitar, and then she swung it.
She hit
the IV. Yes.
That's her?
Yes.
Congratulations, Brian.
Jensen, I think you just found a new podcast partner.
Boy, oh boy.
All right, let me do the thing. This is a real quick one. Yesterday, I brought you the story about the luckiest little boy in the world, that 10-year-old kid in Missouri. Remember, he was attacked by yellow jackets. He fell onto a meat skewer, and it went right through his head, but it missed everything that could have been damaging.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is the follow-up story.
I thought it was a bad update.
No. He's great. He's great, and he'll be great forever. He's going to live to be a million.
Well,
okay.
I don't.
So this is the flip side of that story. That kid was the luckiest kid in the world ever. Here's a 78-year-old in Britain named Barry Enderby. He's one of these guys who plays the same lottery numbers every single day. Now, I guess they either don't have in Britain or he doesn't use what we have here, which is just you can do it online and just have it kind of permanently buy a ticket for you every single day. You don't actually have to go out and buy it, but he doesn't do that. He rides his bike down to the local shop to buy his lottery ticket. Well, last week, he was hit by a car on his way to buy his lottery ticket.
He's a winner in some sort.
Because he survived being hit by a car?
Yeah.
So he's knocked off his bike. His leg was badly injured, but he still wanted to buy that lottery ticket. So he got back on the bike, but being hurt, he could not pedal fast enough to get to the shop in time to buy the ticket. Well, I don't have to tell you.
No.
Well, of course the number came in. There's no question that's where this is going. His usual numbers include 8 and 14 and 16 and 21, inspired by his daughter's birthday, as well as his two old house numbers. He would have won £10,000 had he gotten there in time and put the numbers that he buys every single day. But wait, there's more. Despite not being much of a drinker, he decided to go out for a drink after finding out about his misfortune. So he went and got a little drunk. Then he went home, and he felt hungry, and he decided he was going to put on some chips and steak. But while it was cooking, he fell asleep, and the next thing he knew, the smoke alarm had gone off. His stove was on fire. He got up, limping, to the stove, and threw water on it.
Oh.
Which, if you know anything about stove fires, is the worst thing that you can do. So the blaze grew even larger, stripping roof tiles, melting fans, burning his place to the ground. Thanks to neighbors who called 911, firefighters arrived soon after and managed to extinguish the blaze. That is a bad 1-2-3 combination.
Ooh, I mean, that's incredible.
For this 78-year-old, he did not have a good night, is what I'm telling you.
No. That's awful. I mean, what I don't understand is if people can go on to, like, Kickstarter or, like, these Patreons, we should help this man somehow. Mm-hmm. It's only 10,000 pounds. He didn't miss, like, millions.
Or do we stay away from him because he has some bad juju coming on?
That's true. You guys can pick what we do on my new podcast. It's me and Julie from Fantasy Island.
Oh, excellent.
It's Wendy Shaw, the actress.
Excellent.
Yeah. It does say he is being helped by his family and local community, so hopefully they'll take
care
of that.
There you go.
But the takeaway from this story is buy your lottery tickets online.
I didn't know you could do that here.
Can you do
that? Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah, you can sign up for a subscription. That way you don't have to. That way you don't have to ever actually buy tickets. Just buy them, like I say, buy a subscription.
I had no idea.
I had no idea.
And don't throw
like
water.
Like Mega Millions and stuff? We can do that?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I just think it's crazy gambling's illegal, but yet that's allowed. Like, you could just put a subscription and every week pay money to lose unless you hit by a bike.
All right, we'll look it up, Allie.
Okay.
But I'm almost certain that that is
I am in that if that's possible. True.
All right. Because you have too much money?
No, there are certain times when I want to get a lottery ticket, then I'm like, but my couch is comfortable.
Yeah.
So to be able to buy one right from my couch,
all right,
I'll do it.
I may prove to be completely making that up. I could have had the same fever dream you had about Mark and Brian, but we'll find out. All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Beecher, shall we?
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
I will. Allie's parents are probably having sex right now.
Oh, my God.
As we start the show on the East Coast, it's already 8:46. They're pounding one out, right?
Oh, my. Why do I come
we'll
in?
Discuss and bring you up to speed with what's going on with her folks and how many more little brothers and sisters are on the way.
Oh, my God.
Also, cheers with the birthday boy. Beer Mug went out to his favorite bar and asked a great question. We've got those interviews on the show today. We didn't get to it yesterday, but animal stories are happening this morning. Jensen, your good friend Paul Scheer stops by today.
He is. I'm very excited to see my friend.
He, of course, the host of How Did This Get Made, the podcast. He's a very talented actor and writer, and he does it all. He's got a couple of movies out right now, so we'll catch up with Paul. That'll be fun. Mm-hmm. Let me see. How about American Vandal, season 2? Now on Netflix.
So much poo.
So much poop. I know.
Who poisoned the punch, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The lemonade. Who tainted the lemonade.
Yeah. And what are they, I guess we'll ask, what do they use that's so poop realistic in this show?
I don't know. But
I think it's poop.
You think all the actors actually pooed?
Yeah, it's like when Red Man and Meth Man did How High. They had to smoke real weed.
Great point.
Same thing.
We'll find out with the creators of that show. Plus, it's Friday. That means we keep it 100. You help us pick any song to get us into the weekend coming up at 9. Disneyland tickets as well. Ohana Fest tickets, too. It's all coming up. Plus, Allie's got what's happening next on K-Rock. All right, here's the update, you guys. There are a lot of states in America where you can subscribe to the lottery. State lottery, Mega Millions, Powerball, all of them. Unfortunately, we've done the research. Thank you, Assistant Producer Christine. California is not one of them.
No.
I'm sorry, Allie.
No.
But Maryland, New York, Maine, Virginia, there are a bunch of states where you can just sign up and play by subscription, which I'm having trouble saying. Subscription. Mm. All right, so that's settled. We're done with that?
Yeah.
All right, Allie's got what's happening, and then we'll play the brand new song from Smashing Pumpkins, available just this morning.
Wow. Listen, I can't keep up with this Superman news. So a couple days ago, I told you about the Hollywood Reporter. They reported that Warner Brothers was ousting Henry Cavill from the role. And then there was some doubt if that story was real. And then Henry Cavill posted a post on Instagram that left everyone going, wait, what is happening? So he's wearing a T-shirt that says Krypton Lifting Team. He stares intensely at the camera, slowly raising and lowering a Superman action figure. And then he captions, "Today was exciting. Hashtag Superman." So all the comments are like, "What are you doing? What does this mean? Who are you? Who am I? Why do I care?" Okay, the who, why do I care? I added myself, but no one really knows what's happening right now. But now some alternative Superman options are being floated around.
Okay, like, I'll do it.
Like Jensen
Karp. Sure, I'll do it.
Also, Michael B. Jordan.
That's a good Superman.
Right?
Yeah.
Huh? Bean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not sold?
I like it. I just want to hear who else is on the list.
Okay.
That's just one that was floated around.
You don't have any others?
No.
Can I? I still think it should be Nick Cage. Even at this age. Old man screaming, yelling,
don't
weird know. Hair.
Don't need it.
Has a
don't.
Cemetery plot in New Orleans.
Don't
whatever.
Want
I mean, just that's. I want him to be him as Superman.
Okay.
It's Nick Cage living his normal Nick Cage life, and then he's Superman also.
He has wanted it his whole life.
Yeah.
Didn't he name his son Kal-El?
Yes.
He did.
It's time to give that man what he wants.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
But, Allie, I was holding out. I like Michael B. Jordan. Obviously, mm-hmm. he's never made a bad movie, but, and he's a great actor, but when I saw the John Hamm thing swirling around yesterday, mm-hmm. I figured that was going to be on your list. How about John Hamm as Superman?
Well, John Hamm has been asked about portraying Batman. That was during an interview with In Depth with Graham Bensinger.
He can play them both. Let him have them both.
Yeah. Well, here's what he said about playing Batman.
Okay.
He said, "I've never had a conversation with anybody about it, literally, and I've sat in the same room with these guys." And then he said this, which made me just start Googling pictures. "I'd probably fit the suit, you know? I'd have to work out a lot, which I don't love, but I started thinking, fit the suit. I think they'd have to make part of it a little bigger, you know what I'm saying?" Remember those pictures of John Hamm? Those, wow!
Can I give a suggestion for Batman?
We're talking about John
Hamm's
penis.
Can I give a suggestion for Batman?
Fine.
Hannibal Buress.
Okay, right. You've got some great ideas.
Thank you.
Great
Jensen
ideas.
Should do all the casting in Hollywood from now on.
Absolutely. You want to hear my Superman?
Yes.
Don Knotts' corpse.
Okay.
Bring him back like Bernie Lomax. Like Weekend at Bernie's.
You're a strange, strange cat.
Listen, I could save DC. Bring me in.
All right. There you go. By the way, Henry Cavill has been floated as the next James Bond. So that would be quite the thing. Move from Superman on over to James Bond.
The rich get richer.
Right?
And by the way, James Bond should be Idris Elba. That's a given.
He doesn't want to do it.
I don't care. Make him do it. Contractually, we could do whatever we want.
Who's we?
Me. I run Hollywood. I'm Jewish.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah,
okay.
And the banks.
Yeah. That's it.
I do all of it.
Here's some birthdays for you. Sam Neill, Melissa Leo, Nas, Andrew Lincoln. And by the way, Beer Mug puts what these people are in. So if you have to refer to a Nas, rapper, Andrew Lincoln, Walking Dead. And he also wrote his name, Beer Mug, and then in parentheses, fast food entrepreneur, waking up in bushes, receding hairline.
Huh.
Aw, Mugs.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mugs.
Happy birthday, Mugs.
And that's what's happening.
Allie, how did we first get on the very awkward and uncomfortable for you topic about your parents and all the boning they've been doing?
Well, we didn't start out as a boning topic. It was the last time Jensen was filling in.
Yes.
We were talking about how our parents are so bad at social media or anything technological. And my parents, when they take a nap, they send an email and they just write in the subject line, nap. And then about an hour later, I'll just get another email that says, over. So that's so I don't call them while they're napping. And then someone ruined my day, nay, life, because an Afro caller decided to tell me that they were not indeed napping.
And I think here's that call.
Oh, Allie, that is so sweet that you think your parents are actually napping when they say they're napping. Come on, you know they're getting it on. Oh, yeah, they're bumping uglies. And for your dad to go an hour and say it's over, that's pretty impressive. Wow. Your mom's one lucky lady.
This is such a creepy voice.
She ruined my life. That woman ruined ruin my life.
As if the subject matter needed more creepy feeling. She's like, and your dad is so lucky.
So you heard that, and now, of course, the image is in your mind forever. Mm-hmm. And then you have to start thinking, wait a minute. Even if I believe they're napping when they send the emails, are they still having sex?
Every day I get that email, and every day I go,
Every day, Allie? Wow, what a lucky woman.
We really, I think I speak for everyone when I say, those of you lucky enough to have parents, we don't want we don't ever want our parents to be having sex, right? Ever. We want to believe that the last time they had sex was when we were conceived, and then they said, okay, that's it. We've done our business, and we never have to do that again.
Right.
But that's not what's going on at your house and your parents' house in Maine, I'll tell you that.
And they feel compelled to email you about it.
They're just telling me they're napping.
Mm-hmm. Every time you talk to your parents now, it has to be in the back of your mind.
Yeah, Bean, it is. We've covered that.
And are you tempted at all to tell them about it? Just from a comedy standpoint, you're not going to believe what's been going on the radio show lately.
I come from a very Catholic family growing up. Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about the birds and the bees. We don't talk about anything
talk about
like that.
Because they're doing it every
they're
day.
They're too busy
too
doing
busy.
It.
Too busy. Why would they talk about it?
No.
Lead by example.
Mm.
Is it possible, Allie, this is a serious question, is it possible that your mom is having sex more than you are?
Oh, it's possible that, you know, I was going to say Mother Teresa, but I don't think she is. But no, she's having about the same amount as me, is what I'm saying.
Okay, so mom wins in that score.
Yeah,
okay.
Yes.
All right, so then Omar gets involved, like you do, and he creates a song that we debuted a few days ago. Jetson, I don't think you've heard this yet.
No.
But here's Omar's take on Allie's parents doing it.
Allie's mom has got it going on. Allie's mom has got it going on. Allie, do you think your parents are taking a nap? Taking a nap. Or maybe they're having fun in the sack. Boning in the sack. It's the latter, cause your mom's got it going on. Going on. And I don't think you knew this, but your dad's got a huge dong.
I mean, that, huge stop, dong. Just stop.
Oh, how can you think they're really napping? Cause we all know that they're up and boning.
Boning.
Allie's mom has got it going on. She's got all the right sex moves and can go all night long. Allie, can't you see? Your mom is so sexy. You might think it's wrong. Your dad's got a huge dong. Ooh, what's that sound? It's an email coming in. Subject line is napping, but we all know they're boning. Bumping uglies.
Okay. I think we got the gist. We're good.
Allie's dad's got a huge, I don't know. There's probably a bridge.
Dong. Oh, Mars a genius, by the way.
Yeah, that's better than the Smashing Pumpkins song.
So, Allie, I have bad news for you.
What?
And that is, there's a new Omar song as well.
Oh, God.
Because apparently he, like you, can't stop thinking about what's going on in your parents' house in Maine. So here's the latest from DJ Omar Khan.
As you get another email, you know your dad's gonna nail your mom so much. She loves to feel his touch. No, they're not napping. They're gonna start boning. So they head to the bedroom, which they call their big sex room. Allie, are you okay? Allie, are you okay? Are you okay, Allie? Mom's been hit by. Mom's been tapped by. Your dad's ding-a-ling.
He's the dumbest ever.
So apparently, Allie, I'm the lucky one being the orphan.
Oh.
Animal stories on the way, and funny man Paul Scheer will be here next hour as well. Hey, Muggs.
Hey, good morning. You're listening to the smooth, dulcet town tones of 106.7 KROQ, 106.7 on your FM dial.
That voice.
Yeah.
He got me kind of excited.
Did he?
I like the medium of radio.
You were going to use the word turgid, weren't you, Jetson?
Thinking about it.
Yeah, I get this sinus thing, which either makes me sound like the DOC, which you heard like a couple months ago, or Charlie Tuna. So It's either one.
Yeah. I like what you're doing. Muggs is here because it's time for Cheers with Beer Mug. Hit it, Steve.
Beer Mug, he wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
Asking questions with no shame.
What are you?
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came.
Oh.
Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Wow.
Every week to 10 days or so, Muggs goes to his favorite watering hole in the valley, which once again, Muggs is where?
O'Grady's. Bring all the ladies. Yeah.
And what's you have happening?
Nobody says that.
And you go in there with a hard-hitting question and then ask drunk people their answer. What was the question this week?
Absolutely. Well, about a month ago, you guys had the phone topic of what you would do or what you would change if you ruled the world. Mm-hmm. You know, with all the craziness going on in the political climate right now, I wanted to get somebody who was ready and willing to make a change. So I decided to go out once again to O'Grady's and find that out.
All right. Mine, of course, was stopping autoplay videos on the Internet. That's what I was going to do. Let's see if the people you talked to had ideas as good as that one.
All right. Alex, a.k.a. Russian,
How drunk are you, Muggs?
Yeah, I went from 0 to 60 in about 5 minutes, right when I got in the door. Everybody just starts handing me drinks. I can't turn it down.
Yeah.
You know?
Keep doing what you're doing, son.
What would you do? What would be the one thing you would do if you ruled the world?
If I ruled the world, you know, there's not a lot left to do. I guess I gotta move on to Mars.
Esther.
Wait. That was his answer, by the way. Huh. Yeah. All the problems on Earth are all solved.
It was too hard for me to figure out, so I just kept on moving on.
Okay, fine.
Esther, what would you do if... What would be the one thing you would do if you ruled the world?
Adopt all the dogs and just release them on, like, 10 acres of land.
That doesn't seem like enough.
No. I feel like they're going to be real crowded.
And who's going to feed them? I should have followed up.
I mean, aren't there millions of dogs?
Yes.
I have a lot of follow-up questions for O'Grady.
What's your favorite dog?
A Great Dane. It's like a mini pony.
Yes, she needs
one. Can I ride your mini pony?
Oh.
Whoa, hold on.
Mom, wait, what?
Was I a little too forward?
Can I ride your mini pony?
Okay. It and sounds
does
like
she have a mini pony?
Maybe.
Or like do you want to F a dog?
Well, no.
She said, of course you can.
Yes.
Wow, all right.
Bugs, you're in.
I would make sure that every kid alive had a mom and dad.
Jeez.
I really would. That would be it.
You're a good man, Ray. A lot of good, great people in O'Grady's tonight.
This is a very thoughtful crowd there that night, by the
way. It was very touching.
I also have a follow-up question for that.
Uh-huh.
Is it our parents that we had that have passed and he brings them back, or do we get new parents?
Because technically we all do have a mom
and dad.
That's
what I mean, yeah.
Okay, all right. Sounds like some follow-ups are in order.
Uh-huh. If I ruled the world, I think I would legalize drugs. Can I give you the reason, though? Please.
The reason is I think that when, you know, people should be convicted for their crimes, not for what they're on. And I think we waste a lot of money on people being in prison for being on drugs, you know what I mean, when they really need help.
It'd be sort of like what they do in Amsterdam, and that seems to have worked out for that country, right?
Okay, Muggs, Amsterdam's not a country.
Oh, yeah, it's a city.
But that was Judge Kavanaugh, right, that you were talking about?
Yeah.
Right.
Muggs, do you know what country Amsterdam is in?
Yes, Denmark.
No!
He said it so confidently. Yeah.
I was going to put $20 down that you couldn't name the country that Amsterdam is in. What country is Amsterdam in, Muggs?
Was it? I thought it was Denmark.
Of course you did. Because we're talking about Copenhagen, right?
Oh, man, I knew that.
No, what I'm saying is...
No.
Copenhagen is in Denmark.
Oh.
Amsterdam is in Holland.
Just not Copenhagen.
This is so good. This is really good.
I need to go back to school.
This is great. You know what? I don't think he's spending too much time in O'Grady's at all. I think he's doing the right amount. Yep.
Do we even have time to get back to the rest of it?
I don't know if you beat that.
Holy crap.
All right, let's do some more.
I mean, there's not a lot of criminal activity there. Oh, man. Education free, healthcare free, and enough of these borders, man. Enough. We're all human.
North America is all one.
We're all human.
Human nature.
There is no religion. There is no right or wrong. There is no color. There's nothing. Just go about yourself.
Just go about yourself. Yeah. By the way, I like the guy who says there is no right or wrong. What, are we living in the Purge?
Yeah, we're going to need RoboCop.
Seriously, Muggs, these people.
What would be the one thing you'd do if you rule the world?
World peace, but that includes feeding people, clothing people, giving them food and water, take care of people, man.
If I ruled the world, I would get rid of hate.
That's a very, very good thing to want to happen. I'm here with Danky by Danky Danky. Danky Danky. Huh? What would be the one thing you would change if you ruled the world?
The one thing I would change if I ruled the world? Health benefits.
For all?
For all.
Wow, man, this is getting really deep in here tonight.
Puppies for everyone.
Puppies for everyone. Free puppies?
Yeah.
Free puppies, ladies and gentlemen.
There it is. All right.
Batgirl 2020.
That's the one we can all agree on. Thanks, Muggs.
You're welcome.
The late, great Chris Cornell and Soundgarden on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Hey, by the way, today is the last day we are giving away three-day passes for the Ohana Festival at Doheny. That's coming up at the end of the month. Why don't we do what we did yesterday and just make it as simple as being caller 20 when you hear a song from any of the bands that are playing the festival?
Okay.
How's that sound?
I like
it. So, if it's Eddie Vedder or the Yeah Yeah Yeahs or Mumford & Sons or Beck Young the Giant, we'll play it coming up here in the next couple of hours or so here on K-Rock. Be caller 20 when you hear that band play and you win tickets to the Ohana Fest. All right, time now for animal stories.
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
We had a very dark edition of Animal Stories last week, if you'll recall. We had a lady attacked by a raccoon. We had a guy who had his foot eaten off by a rat. I mean, it was just it was a bad batch. Remember, Allie, we also had the kid who had his penis stung by a stingray in the ocean?
Yes, it was a man, though, which almost makes it worse.
So,
because that's a lot more pain that they can't handle.
That's why I missed a week. I had to come in a week later, yeah.
I am happy to say no one dies in this edition of, and no one is even attacked in this edition of Animal Stories, I think. So let's see what's going on. Up in Minneapolis, there's a black bear, a 150-pound black bear, who got his head caught in a 10-gallon milk jug. Now, for whatever reason, I don't know why they didn't tranquilize the bear. Maybe there was some reason. Maybe they thought he would be having too much trouble breathing or something like that because he had a milk jug on his face. So they had to try to figure out a way to get the milk jug off. Mm-hmm. And it is not as easy as you might think it was. So the conservation officers all show up. First, they drill holes in the jug so the bear can breathe better. After that, cooking oil was put on the bear's head in hopes that they could slide the jug off. That didn't work. They put down a tarp. Firefighters came in. They put down a tarp and tried to wrestle the jug off the bear's head. One of the firefighters is a local wrestling coach. He laid down on the ground and tried to wrestle the thing off his head.
I don't. Okay. Were they going to get the hockey coach to come in and I was going to slap shot it off his head? Like, that's just bizarre. The wrestling is bizarre.
Can I give my opinion?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I run up. All these people are doing dumb things. And I go, I got a hammer.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to just shatter it.
Well, I mean, it's a metal milk jug.
Oh, okay. I thought it was glass.
Yeah, it's metal.
Huh.
So they ended up bringing in the Jaws of Life, which is what they use to get people out of mangled
cars. Yeah.
Several people hold the bear down, and they were able to pry the jug off the bear's head. He stands up. He's a little bit dazed, takes a quick look around, and then off to the woods. They think that because there's been so little rain in Minneapolis that he was just looking for water, and that's why he put his head in. But you see these animals all the time. You see deer that get into something in somebody's yard or something like that. And, I mean, you die if you have something stuck in your head because you can't eat or drink, right?
Right.
What a crazy day for them, though, to end up. I mean, no firefighter wakes up and thinks, I'm going to end up wrestling a bear today. Not what you expect.
But it sounded so cute in the end. He had a cute little jug on his head, and then it came off. Sounds so cute.
I got a couple of snake stories for you today, and I know that there are people who are terrified just when they hear the word snake. This family in Australia calls a snake catcher because they hear noise in the attic. It turns out it's two coastal carpet pythons who were in a fight, a death match. These snakes, Allie, are 5 to 7 feet long.
No,
and they,
no.
They push their way through the ceiling and onto the carpet in the spare bedroom in this house.
Oh, God.
They're thrashing and wrestling near the closet. There's a video of this online that shows the snakes twisting around each other, even slamming each other to the ground. They're doing absolute wrestling moves on one another. They're fighting because of a nearby lady snake. They track the scent of a female python, and they're duking it out to prove who deserves the lady. The snake expert called in says they can continue like this for hours until one is exhausted. Isn't that crazy? Can you imagine? You hear something in your attic, and it turns out to be 7-foot snakes in a death spiral.
Mm-mm, I don't know.
Get these snakes out of my place. I was trying to...
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, trying my hardest.
Here's everyone's worst fear. This happened in North Carolina. This guy found a snake coming up out of his toilet and wound up in a tug-of-war match with it. His name is Mike Green. This was the 6th snake to come out of his toilet in the last 4 years.
Okay.
I think we should look into this.
I don't want a victim blame here, but come on.
I mean, he's asking for it.
Thank you.
Snakes in the North Carolina neighborhood of, I heard you, of Lattimore have been getting into bathrooms through the ventilation pipes on the roofs of homes. Apparently, this is not uncommon. They are sleek animals that fit into tight spaces in their environment. They feel more comfortable in tight, dark spaces. So they go into a pipe, they feel good about it, then they navigate through the sewer system, and in some cases, find their way into somebody's toilet.
I'd burn the house down.
For sure.
They do recommend if you find a snake in the toilet, you should call animal control officials who will identify the species that and are best equipped to handle it. Most snakes are harmless, but there's a chance it could be dangerous. By the way, do you automatically look in the bowl before you open the lid of your toilet?
Every
just
time.
Double check?
Absolutely.
What are you looking for?
A snake?
A snake?
I would never. I don't look ever.
I hear so many of these stories. Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Finally, I wish there was a way to show video. They got to invent some sort of radio with pictures. If they could do that, it would be so cool. Mm. Because this surveillance video out of Washington, D.C. Allie, I know you saw Alarm Rat. This rat is leaping off of a fence or something, or a railing of a stairs or something like that. And I can't figure out why he was going out of his way to pull the fire alarm.
That's amazing.
Why would he do it? Like, what's
he's a
in it?
Dick.
Well, what's in it for him, though?
Chaos. That rat loves chaos.
Usually, you see some sort of motivation, like they're trying to climb to get somewhere, or there's food, or something like that. This video, published by NBC Washington, shows a large rat. And by the way, he looks like he weighs like 4 pounds. I mean, he's a huge rat. And he jumps up onto a fire alarm on the wall and uses his weight to pull the lever down before falling down to the ground. And then all the residents from the apartment all have to come out. There's no fire. It's just a fire alarm rat.
Oh, he's magic.
I wonder if he's related to Pizza Rat in New York.
I feel like there's a Pixar movie in this.
I think you're right. That has been Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure your blues.
LA and OC's alternative rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. A listener and a frequent contributor, Holmey, in Newport Beach, Allie, says we missed the boat on talking about that rat that pulled the fire alarm. It was obviously hashtag KevRat. If we've learned anything from Kevin over the last 25 years, it's sometimes when you see a fire alarm, you just have to pull it because it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we shouldn't be looking for any deeper meaning in that. You just pull it because you can.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag KevRat. I like it. All right, time for another look at what's happening. Here's Allie out of Friday.
It's Friday,
yay!
First of all. No, Jensen, guys, New Cypress Hill. They are going to be returning with their first album in 8 years. It's called Elephants on Acid. It's due out September 28th through their new label home, BMG. But we today have some new Cypress Hill for you. If you want to hear it, it's on all the streaming services. Here's just a little bit of Crazy.
So my mind's so high, no, I can't tell if I'm in a dream, why, oh why. If I die tonight, I'm gonna get high tonight. Not sure I'll survive tonight. Now I sweat, can't see straight. Now I start like a loose
I'm very excited. Now, I know you're friends with some of those guys, Allie. How about you, Jensen? You crossed paths with them over the years?
A little bit. I knew Muggs as a kid, but mm-hmm. I mean, they're. I think the first Cypress Hill record, the self-titled one's top five favorites of all time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the greatest.
Who's singing the hook on that, Allie?
I do not know, but some wonderful lady.
Yeah, no kidding. I like that. Thank you for playing that.
That is really good.
On the topic of Cypress Hill, it kind of went viral yesterday, but I do want to send people to a great Rolling Stone article written by a great writer, Christopher Weingarten, who did the oral history of the 1993 Judgment Night soundtrack. And it tells you everyone, it goes to everyone who's on it, it talks to everyone who put it together. It's one of the greatest soundtracks of all time, very K-rock friendly, because it's the best rappers at the time, put with the best rock bands at the time.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
And it's very good. And if you haven't listened to Judgment Night, the soundtrack, you should, and then check out the Rolling Stone oral history.
I like it.
It's great.
I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, new Cypress Hill, though, right?
Yeah, and Cypress Hill's all over the article as well.
I really like it. By the way, they're playing locally, I think, tomorrow, isn't it? Anybody?
I don't have.
Great American Smokeout? Isn't that tomorrow in Ontario?
They still do that, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Good for them.
I'm going to look that up. But I'm pretty sure. Kids in the other room, if you're listening, I just called them kids. That was weird.
Just a bunch of children in the other room.
It is. They're like, I'll Google that for that lady. Guys, 21 Pilots played their first show in more than a year on Wednesday night at Brixton Academy in London. But people kept passing out. It's a very strange story. Yeah, it was marked by multiple instances of fans passing out and requiring assistance in leaving the crowd. So they're doing a song, and then Tyler Joseph just calmly says, security, we have someone in the middle there that needs to come out. If we could make a split down the middle for someone back there to get to the front, please. Then 15 minutes later, it was happening again. So I don't know if it was just so hot in there or the set was so lit.
Lit, man.
What?
That place was lit.
Yeah.
Lit. I'm having a stroke. But it's lit in here, but someone should get me a paramedic.
Right, yeah. As well. So, concerning a little bit, right? Who's with me?
I'm with you. Of course, anytime you got them packed in tight like that, it's not uncommon for people to get overheated, for sure.
Right? Like all those dogs in that 1 acre?
Right.
You know what? When you go to a 21 Pilots show, you're signing a virtual contract that you're going to get crazy, man.
Are you?
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens at a 21 Pilots show.
Yeah. It might say that on the ticket.
Yeah, he's going to sign up.
Yeah.
Allie, here's your update from the kids in the other room. The Great American Smokeout is happening, and it is happening tomorrow night, as you read, 7 p.m., Citizens Bank Arena in Ontario.
Nice!
So there you go. You can probably see a few more of those new Cypress Hill songs, then. I'm sure they'll be doing them.
I love so
if 21
much.
Pilot shows up, though.
It's going to be double lit.
Yeah.
It's excellent. Good.
Bring some water and a stretcher.
Okay. You guys know that I would love to go to space, but there's no way for me to drink champagne up there, so I've been out. But a French winery has invented a champagne that you can now enjoy in space. Has this been a concern?
No.
No.
Ever. Yeah, right? So the beverage is called Cordon Stellar. And it's designed to be enjoyed in zero gravity. The company expects it to make it into orbit within the next 5 years. Their high-tech bottle stores wine in the upper portion of the container and then dispenses it as small amounts of foam, which then you are allowed to scoop out of the air and drink.
I feel like there's a limited market for people who are going to be drinking wine in zero gravity.
It's just beer mug if he goes to NASA. I can't think of people who care about this.
It's just an insane story, but it's...
Mama needs her wine, even when I'm in space.
Kudos to Cordon Stellar for getting their name out there, but I don't know. I don't know if I want to scoop foam.
No. How many bottles can they possibly ever sell of this? Yeah. Ever?
Three? Three a year? Maybe?
I don't even know why they would do that.
It's just, it's bizarre.
Even BevMo's like, this is too much.
This is dumb.
And they have everything.
Right?
Yeah.
Agreed.
Kevin Bean, sponsored by BevMo. Hey, do you know who's on the Great American Smokeout Festival?
Who?
Snoop Dogg doing Doggy Style from front to back. Wu-Tang doing 36 Chambers front to back.
You just said Doggy Style from front to back.
All right, fair enough. Wu-Tang front to back, 36 Chambers, Bone Thugs and Harmony, Cypress Hill, and Afro Man.
What?
Also Warren G.
That Are you kidding?
Unbelievable lineup.
Isn't that good?
Wow.
And Musical Youth doing Pass the Dutchie. It's like every good...
On the left-hand side?
Yeah. Yeah. This is a good. This is a good tour. It's a good little festival.
I went and smoked weed with one of the guys from Musical Youth.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, can you do anything else with them? Do they like even? Do they go? All right, got to smoke weed with me.
Yeah, pretty much. It was pretty awesome.
All right.
Yeah. So,
we're still here, by the way.
Oh, are we? Okay, I wasn't sure. Some birthdays for you. Sam Neill, Melissa Leo, Nas, Andrew Lincoln, and our very own, these are his words, fast food what?
Jeez. What? Did you smoke weed with the Musical Youth guys this morning?
I just turned into Beer Mug. Fast food entrepreneur, waking up in bushes and receding hairline. Happy birthday to our very own Beer Mug. What? I had a stroke. That's what's happening.
Friday morning. Thank you so much for choosing the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock. We want you to have passes for Ohana Festival coming up at Doheny. That's in Dana Point, end of September, with a great, great lineup. If you hear any of the songs by any of the artists on the bill, including Eddie Vedder, Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Mumford & Sons, Beck, Young the Giant, or maybe even if we play some Norah Jones, right? Be caller 20 when you hear that play, and you'll win the tickets. That's coming up soon here on K-Rock.
We're not playing Norah Jones, though,
probably
are we?
Not.
I'm saying it's probably unlikely that it'll be Norah Jones, but technically any of the acts on the bill. If
which
we play
one do you think will most likely
Yeah, like
play?
If you were to be a betting man, what would you bet?
Mumford & Sons.
Oh, okay. Mumford & Sons. Okay.
So keep in mind that when you hear Mumford & Sons, that's the whole contest.
Coming up
but
on
it could be any artist, right?
It could
be Norah Jones.
It could be Norah Jones, but it's Mumford & Sons.
323-520-AFRO. That's the number 24 hours a day. It's the voicemail here at K-Rock. We call it the Kevin Bean Afro Line. We always appreciate when you call. I'm sorry that Kev Dog is not here today because the first two messages that were left are about his outstanding 9/11 tribute. We played it near the end of the show on Friday. And, you know, after all these years, 17 years later, it still takes us right back to that awful, awful day. And he did a beautiful job with that. And here's the first of two.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Ding dongs. Hey, I want to tell you that I listen to you guys to get away from my everyday life and laugh and giggle and be stupid for a little bit. But yesterday, your 9/11 tribute was pretty touching and very humbling. And I really enjoyed it. I wanted to thank you guys for that.
Again, that's all Kevin's great work. Here's the second.
Your September 11th montage was absolutely beautiful. I cried like a baby to work the whole time. Completely tore up when I got to work. It was beautiful. Never forgot. Wanted you guys to know. Cried like a baby.
Thank you very much for that. Moving on to other topics. You know, Jensen, you heard I'm going to be a ukulele player, right?
Oh, I know well. Zoe Bean Chanel.
That's what this call's about.
I saw Bean's Instagram post about the ukulele. And first thing about the ukulele, it's actually pronounced ukulele. I guarantee if you walk into a club and say, ladies, I've got an ukulele, and these will hit the floor.
That's a nice side benefit. I didn't realize that the ladies are down with ukulele players.
I think he's lying.
we got a couple of calls on animal stories, a regular feature we do here on the show. Here's the first.
The lyrics are literally, animal stories to cure your blues. And we get stuck with a rat toe. I don't feel better.
Yeah, that whole thing.
Yeah, this was a guy who was in the hospital with diabetes, so he had no feeling in his foot, and he woke up and realized in the hospital, woke up and realized that a rat had eaten a good portion of his foot. And you're not going to be pleased by this caller who's got some more information about that.
Hey, guys, podcast listener here. I was listening to the animal stories about that rat eating the guy's foot. And I just want to let you know, I used to work at LACUSC, and as soon as I started hearing that story about the diabetes and a rat coming into the tent, I knew exactly what was going to happen. It's actually pretty common, and especially if the person's on drugs or has diabetes and they can't feel it, it happens way more than you think. Yeah, we are just rat food, even if we're still alive. Have a good day.
Think about that. It happens more than you imagine, you guys. I wanted that to be the only time it had ever happened.
Yeah. It's like a saw room. Like it's like it sounds like it's just like a torture that happens commonly.
Yes. I don't know how I'm going to sleep tonight.
Awful.
We did a phone topic on people who have weird phobias. This is one of the strangest ones you'll ever hear.
Hey, party people. So I was listening to the podcast with the weird phobias. And I just had to say that my phobia is ranch, like ranch dressing. Like, it's not that I don't like it. It's that I'm literally afraid of it. Like, talking about it right now is making me want to cry. like, if it gets anywhere near me, just the thought of it being near me literally makes me want to crawl in my bed and cry. Like, I'm getting nervous just talking about it. But ranch dressing, like, it needs to stay the F away from me. The bottle, the dressing, everything about it. Like, I'm scared of it, and I don't like it. And, yeah, that's my story.
Jensen, you want to tell her about your dog?
I mean, my dog is brunch.
Yeah. Oh, I thought brunch? It was ranch. I thought it was ranch.
Oh,
sorry.
I was like, what about his dog?
My dog's name is Brunch because he's so white.
I'm sorry. For some reason, I thought your dog's name was Ranch.
Listen, I'm more concerned about this woman when she passes like a Buffalo Wild Wings
and just keeps driving. That would be terrible for her.
But I should get a dog named Ranch, you're right.
We also did a topic recently on the worst place you ever vomited. And here's one to add to the list.
Wanted to touch base with you guys on the worst place anybody ever threw up. I threw up in an oxygen mask with my hands taped down to the table. I was having a C-section at the time, turned my head, threw up into the oxygen mask. It went back into my face, neck, hair, and I sat in it for 4 days. Have a good day, y'all. Bye.
another have a good day, by the way.
It's great that they have to sum it up with some spirit.
Allie, good news. Here's a fan of yours.
A-L-L-L-I-E-M-A-C-K-Y. A-L-L-L-I-E-M-A-C-K-Y, Allie Mackey.
All right. He was off with the whole thing.
I'm going to get a rat to eat off your leg. Oh, wow. A-L-L-I-E, McKay.
It's weird.
Allie Mackey. All right, here's another fan of yours.
Allie Shark, do-do-do-do-do. Allie Shark, do-do-do-do-do. Allie Shark. Kevin Shark, do-do-do-do-do. I messed up.
By the way, it won't surprise you. We have been terrorizing, especially parents of little ones, with the Baby Shark song on the air recently, which was new to me, but I guess a lot of people have heard it thousands of times because their kids love it. That's what this call's about.
Hey, guys. So it's been about 4 days since Dean played the shark song, and I don't even have kids, and was getting in the shower, just started singing it, thought maybe... it left my brain after I heard it 4 days ago. But no, still in there. So thanks. God.
Yeah. Here's another listener calling about Baby Shark. And this may be my favorite version of it yet.
I can't get this song out of my head. Somebody help me, please.
His head's going to explode. And finally, I guess I deserve this.
Oh, my God, that John Hamm is so cute. What do you think, Kevin? What do you think, Allie? Mm-hmm. Bean? How cute is he? Go ahead. Tell us. Hit it, Steve.
And now, a moment with Bean. You got John Hamm back as your narrator again this year. He's pretty dreamy, right?
Oh, you're the worst.
I mean, let's be honest, Keith. Let's just be men here. I mean, he is f-ing amazing. F-ing amazing, right?
Did you just cuss, Bean?
I did.
Are you
serious? I've never
done that before. John Hamm just made you cuss?
That was A Moment with Bean.
Never heard it before.
Unbelievable.
Never heard it since. But
worth
he
it.
Said the F word.
Yeah,
worth it.
323-520-AFRO. We appreciate your call anytime, day or night. It's the Kevin Bean Afro Line. Actor, podcaster, comedian, writer, director, and sexy beast. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Scheer back on the Kevin Bean Show.
I'm excited to be here.
Paul, it's always a pleasure. We've had you on many times over the years, but you walk in today and one of your best friends, Jensen Karp, is filling in for Kevin.
I know. I'm very excited. And, you know, we just got back from Chicago.
We did. We've talked about it here. You're going to get berated a bit for it. I'm warning you in advance. You didn't come to the nerdiest part, but they do think I'm a huge nerd for what I did in my bachelor.
Well, look, I mean, like a bachelor party is unique. And I feel like, but I will, in Jensen's defense, I will say he was not leading the charge to go play pinball.
Correct.
At a historic pinball museum. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was something I forced my friends to do when you really think about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Paul, what's your verdict, though, on a destination bachelor party? Is that asking too much of the people who are going to be standing up for you in your wedding?
Well, what is there to do in your own town that you haven't done? That's what
right.
I kind of think. You
He's
know,
right.
it's like, go away, enjoy yourself. A lot of people that I know have kids.
Right.
So
get them away from those kids.
Exactly. When you can get away from the family and the kids, that's actually a vacation. I don't – tell me wherever. I go to Detroit. I'm in. Wait, wait, I'll go to your bachelor party.
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
Yep.
How do you guys know each other?
I think originally I worked in marketing for the television show Lost.
Yes.
And I wanted to do some things. And Damon and Carlton, who did that show, were really open to the idea of doing some comedic stuff. And I knew Paul was a huge fan of Lost. And I reached out as just a guy trying to hire a dude to come help.
And it was really funny because we did this big prank at Comic-Con where I presented Damon and Carlton, the creators of Lost, with this velvet
yes, black
painting.
Velvet painting of them.
Yes.
With a polar bear.
And, oh, a polar bear.
Yeah.
And we
nice.
Played it so straight, but it was totally, you know, planned and orchestrated that it became a confusing part in my career because on my Wikipedia page, it would be like, he's into painting. And at Comic-Con, presented this. So for the longest time, I'd be going and doing all these interviews like, tell us about your painting. And I'm like, I don't paint. Like, no, yes, you do. No, but and, I was, and then I finally had to figure out how to like remove that from my Wikipedia page, only because it was giving a false narrative that I stalked celebrities and gave them velvet paintings.
Do you know what that is? That's good marketing, baby.
Yeah. You Boom. Know someone's adding that right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
It would be right back up there. I get it. I deserve it for all the terrible add-ons that we've done for How Did This Get Made, which is that podcast I do. At one point, we were talking about this movie, Deep Blue Sea. It's a shark movie, and Stellan Skarsgård is in it. But every time we talked about him, we called him Stellar Skateboard because our autocorrect changed it to Stellar Skateboard. And then our fans changed his Wikipedia page to Stellar Skateboard. And so like, and now it's permanently locked. And then like, I called Ron Silver actor activist, and now his page says actor activist. So I deserve
my
Wikipedia.
Yes,
yeah, exactly.
So you say it, and automatically it just becomes a fact on the internet. That's
yes.
amazing.
Our listeners, I'm sure, just like your listeners, are pretty amazing at editing Wikipedia to our whims, and then quickly get shut down.
How many episodes of How Did This Get Made have you done, Paul? Because I feel like you've been doing it a lot for a long time.
Yeah, we've been doing it a lot. Like, we're coming up on our 200th episode, which for most people who have a podcast, they get that done in the first 6 months. But we take our time. We go a little bit slower here.
But you'll never run out of movies. That's the
no,
thing about it.
No, I know. I mean, they keep on coming out. I mean, John Gotti, or not John Gotti, just Gotti, the Travolta movie, just came out on iTunes. I cannot wait.
Oh, yeah.
0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
0%. That's harder to get than 100%. I think 0 is more of an achievement.
You should definitely get an award. They give you like a tomato award when you get 100%. You know, you should definitely get an award for 0%.
Yeah, like a real Rotten Tomato, like sent to your house.
They just bombard your house with it.
You know, you would, and I heard that Travolta was pretty good in that movie, too. I heard the movie was terrible.
Really?
But
I mean,
he was way
good. Where are you hearing that from?
Yeah.
No?
Did you hear that from John Travolta?
John Travolta, though, is like the Nicolas Cage school of acting. It's like, I'm in. I want to see what's happening, even if everything around him is like a burning house fire.
In the OJ show, he basically played a cat. like his last scene was him just like licking milk and like purring. Like his whole scene is so weird.
He was awful on that. But, I mean, here's a guy, John Travolta. I can't believe we got off on this tangent.
Yes.
Who, you know, started off obviously being nominated for an Oscar for Saturday Night Fever, right? I mean, he was he was great in
that
movie.
I mean, you know, he was started off even before that in Welcome Back, Kotter. Like, he was a sex symbol, a young, virile, like, this is the guy. And then you get Look Who's Talking Now when he's talking to dogs.
But that
was 25 years ago.
Right. But, I mean, God bless, God bless Tarantino for bringing him back, but is he still kind of coasting on the hipness of how great he was in Pulp Fiction? Is that why?
No. I think that was over. That movie was what, 94?
Yeah.
I think it was over 96.
Yeah.
We were done again.
Because then he did like Michael like a year later. He's like an angel with wings. I mean, he's always dancing.
Let's not forget Battlefield Earth.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. No,
Sweet
Travolta
Jesus.
Has really had quite a decline.
You know what? All I'll say is this. kudos to Quentin Tarantino for making us think that he was that cool
That's
in the
true.
First place.
Right. That's
you know?
True.
Agreed.
He did it.
What about the music video he did with Olivia Newton-John?
Oh, the have you seen that?
Oh. No.
Oh, oh, it's going to change your life.
It's crazy awkward.
Oh, my gosh.
It's one of my favorite. You know when you just want to feel cringy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This makes you feel cringy times 100.
Oh,
it's unlike anything you've ever seen.
Well, look, I'm all in on Travolta, and I do. I know we're making fun of him mercilessly, but there is one movie that I recommend to all of you. Mm-hmm. It's called From Russia with Love, and my favorite thing about it was he has a shaved head in that movie, and in all of his press, he's like, yeah, people have been asking for a long time, like, John, shave your hair. People want to see what you look like bald, and I was like, all right, I'll do it. And it's like, we all know, Josh, we all know. I mean, because he's got one of the weirdest toupees in all of mankind.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that. Like, I don't understand the short cropped toupee. It's a weird choice. Well, go full on. Give me William Shatner. Give me death. Do not give me a crew cut. All right. Well, you can't pull it off.
Xenu acts in weird ways.
Did you guys
Paul,
see this?
Yeah. In your long career, and by the way, you must have 150 things on your IMDb page. You're a guy who's worked a lot over the years.
Yeah.
Have you ever had to wear a toupee for any role that you've played?
Actually, I am going to be wearing a toupee for a brand new show that's coming out this January that I'm doing for Showtime.
Which I'm so excited about.
Yeah, this is really cool. It's called Black Monday. It's me, Regina Hall, Don Cheadle, and
Whoa.
Andrew Rannells.
And good
it's,
Lord.
Takes place in the 80s during the stock market. Crash.
Oh.
So
wow.
I do have a toupee, but I have a toupee that is a toupee. I'm not trying to pull off the fact that I have hair.
And it's kind of a drama, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's very...
Dramedy.
Yeah, it's a dramedy. It has a very hard jokes, but then there's this big mystery that kind of propels each episode through the end.
Forgive me if this is a dumb question, but
yeah.
because, you know, you were so well known as an Upright Citizens Brigade guy and
yeah.
have done so much comedy, was there a point at which you thought, oh, my God, I am a dramatic actor, too. I can actually do this. Was that a tough and was that a surprising adjustment for you?
You know, I think honestly, I think that, you know, not to. Who cares about my craft? But I think the one thing that UCB always teaches you is to play everything real and at the height of your intelligence. So if I can play a thing that, you know, an elephant just walked into a bank with a bow tie on, I can play that, you know, that I'm upset because I lost all my money. You know, it's like, so I feel like they just give you the sense of like just committing to everything 100%.
And I've always been from the school of comedy's the hard part.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, you know, I feel like. You know, I feel like I don't approach either different because I feel like when you push comedy, it gets real sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you're trying to do a joke or trying to do a big, crazy character. I feel like that stuff is the stuff I don't respond to as much.
So you were able to keep it real even in Piranha 3D.
Oh, I mean, look, that's probably one of my most real performances. I mean, you know, I would almost direct you to the sequel, Piranha 3DD, where I showed up with Ving Rhames, who had shotgun legs.
Yeah, and huge boobs, right? Double D?
Well, yes. Well, okay. that was, I mean, just a beautiful play on words, you know.
Yeah.
but yeah, Ving Rhames and I, Ving Rhames did a thing that I still love to this day. He is a you know, a method actor, a Juilliard trained actor, and he's in a wheelchair in this movie, and I have to pull him out of the wheelchair, and he did not help me at all. And we liked each other, but he was like
full weight
to pull Ving Rhames out
of
a dude. The big muscular dude. It was the biggest challenge of my acting career. But I pulled Ving Rhames, who was like one of the nicest guys ever, but he was dead weight Ving Rhames.
He also didn't he force them to use real piranhas.
Yes, of course. And that was a little
very
dangerous,
method.
But you know, it was North Carolina, so everyone was cool
it was
with
worth it.
Paul Scheer is here. Believe it or not, he has two new movies out to talk about and so much other stuff going on. We'll take a quick break, come back with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Don't forget, keep listening for Mumford & Sons. When you hear it be color 20, win tickets to the Ohana Fest.
It could be Nora Jones, though.
But I think it's more likely to be Mumford & Sons. Hey, Paul Scheer is here, by the way, just because of the last conversation. Here's an email. Dear Kevin and Bean, I'm going to the How Did This Get Made podcast tomorrow.
Hey. Awesome.
A group of friends watched Action Jackson last night to prepare. It was horrible, and I cannot wait for tomorrow night to hear Paul and the crew. That is Erica, who will be in your audience
I'm
tomorrow
very
night,
excited. So. Well, she's got a very good special guest that she's going to see. It's going to be
good.
Really fun.
Oh.
Is it Nora Jones?
It is. It's actually Mumford and one of the Sons.
All right, let's talk dealer's choice here. You want to talk about Summer 03 first or Slice first?
Well, let's talk about Slice because it's actually out right now and people could get it. This is the hardest movie to describe, but basically Slice is this like kind of midnight B movie where Chance the Rapper plays a werewolf in a town where pizza delivery boys are being murdered, and the city is blaming the ghosts, but they also think it might be a werewolf, and we don't know what's really happening. Maybe it's the witches that are behind it. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Did we need another version of this story, Paul?
I know. Originally made by Orson Welles, you guys had to remake it.
I actually did this story, I think it was last week or the week before, when they said it was going to come out in theaters for one day only, and I said, this is the Mad Libs of movies. None of it made sense.
Well, you know, it's actually like a fun, it is like this midnight, campy, big, like funny horror movie. I kind of describe it as like if Scooby-Doo meets David Lynch. That's what this movie
Soul.
Is.
In.
Yeah.
And it's this, and one of the things that's so great about it is Austin is this amazing filmmaker, so visual. He directed all of Chance the Rapper's videos that you know, and he just like has a passion for doing something that's different. And I feel like that's so refreshing. It's like, it's not just a dramedy. It's not a bunch of like people in their 40s in a house drinking wine going like, oh, I'm not happy in my marriage. You know, like, it's like, we don't need more of those independent movies. We need more independent movies with werewolves and ghosts.
Agreed.
Yeah, we have enough unsatisfied parents in our real life.
And the movie is great because it's got like Joe Keery from Stranger Things and Zazie Beetz from Atlanta. It's got Chris Parnell from Saturday Night Live, myself. It's a big, fun, crazy movie that you can get on any video platform from PlayStation to iTunes and eat a pizza, get real high, and enjoy it.
What is the weird origin story of this movie that involves Chance's Instagram or whatever?
All right, so this is the craziest thing. So A24, who's known for these amazing movies like Moonlight and just, you know, they're the presenters of the best indie films out there. Basically, Chance is going to do this movie with Austin. It's the script at this point. And someone makes a poster of Chance with, like, a Slice moped. And he puts a picture up on his Instagram page. The New York Times writes an article, Chance the actor. And all of a sudden, A24 is like, we're in. Here's money. We're financing your movie. So basically, just from an image on Chance's Instagram page, this movie got fully financed by A24.
So let that be a lesson to kids. If you want to make a movie, just post a fake poster on Instagram. It's
get
that easy.
The poster up first. Yeah.
Now, did you know him before, Paul? I know Jensen goes way back with Chance. Did you?
And Austin. And Austin Vesely, the director. Yeah,
because you gave
Austin $5,000 with Chance to make a music video. It was their first budgeted music video together.
So crazy. Yeah. I never knew them until I did this film. But I did talk to Jensen before I did it, and he gave him like
a thumbs up.
Yeah, it's like, it's fun because, you know, you get these people who get a chance to make a movie, and I feel like they put everything into it. And he's just one of those guys, really fun and really visual. He did the Chance video where they're on like the subway train in Chicago, literally on like a moving subway train. It's crazy.
He's really great.
All right, so that one is called Slice, and it's available on digital platforms. The other movie that you have coming out is in theaters on September the 28th. And
yes.
This one has a lot of buzz right now. God, the kids love this Joey King, by the way.
Yes,
they
Joey King.
Love her.
She's amazing. She's in this movie, The Kissing Booth, on Netflix, like the most watched Netflix movie of all time. And this movie is directed by Becca Gleason, who's just this great writer-director. And her movie is based on a true story where her grandmother on her deathbed brings her family in, reveals a secret to each one of us, and she tells Joey King
Careful here.
I know. I'm going to try to be. I think I can do it with initials, right? I can do it with initials.
That's fine. Yeah.
Okay, great. So she brings Joey King in, and she said, look, the secret to life is learning how to give a good BJ. And
God bless grandma.
Yes. And so this sets this girl off on this crazy coming of age story about what that means. And it kind of like breaks apart our family because we each get this piece of information. And it's a really funny comedy, but also like a great coming of age story from a female perspective that I think you don't often see. And we went to South by Southwest with it, and it was really well received there. And Andrea Savage from I'm Sorry is in it. And June
she's
Squid.
Great.
Yeah, she's amazing. And so it's a great, fun cast, very, very different movie. I get to play a dad.
But so there is a werewolf in this one, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Oh, she does give a BJ to a werewolf. That is... that, oh, I should have led with that. Yes,
I,
yeah.
I have given BJs for pizza, so it's all tied in. Absolutely.
Look at Allie. How rare is it that we have an actor who comes in who loves both of the projects that he's promoting, and he's not just faking it for the studio. He's like, guys, these are really good.
Well, awesome.
For reals, Paul has been a mentor in my life, in comedy especially, considering one of my first gigs was with him, and that is something that I've always looked up to him for. He doesn't do anything that he doesn't at least want to have fun in.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like, you know, you're in this world right now, and thank you for saying that. That's very nice of you, but I feel like we're in this world where the pay is not going to... Like, I didn't do any of these things for the pay. Like, at one point, yeah, sure, put me in Transformers 7. I'll be like, oh, yeah, man, the Autobots are real crazy this time. You're never going to believe what happens.
I very much look forward to that, by the way.
But, you know, when you're doing these things, you're literally getting paid, you know, hundreds of dollars. So it's like, the only reason why you should be doing it is because it's fun and you like the people. And so, you know, and I feel like that's why you're in it. The whole reason, you know.
Will you be doing more? I'm sorry. I know they just wrapped season 2.
I did come back this season, and by the way, I without spoiling anything, it does share some DNA with what we've just spoken about. I won't say what part, but yeah.
Oh, all right. Dear. Yeah.
Sounds like someone's a werewolf.
Ghosts.
Paul,
aren't you? You're in an upcoming drama that's like a war movie.
Oh yes, I'm in a Civil War. Yeah. I'm in a Civil War movie.
I think that's just drunk history.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called Emperor, and it's a story about this slave that created the world's largest manhunt. It's like it's essentially the movie is like The Fugitive with this like slave who just ran crazy through the South and like escaped and had this incredible story. It's a true story. Yeah.
In case you can think you know Paul's career, I thought I'd throw that out there just to show you. You know nothing about what he's into.
Yeah.
Paul Scheer, forgive me if I should know this. Have you written a movie?
I have not written a movie. I've written TV and I've done my own TV shows.
I feel like you
that.
Need to write a movie. I feel
should,
like you're a
maybe.
Guy with a ton of great ideas.
I get cast in movies with people who have great ideas. So definitely that. But movies are tough. I like to be in them, but TV feels better. It's much easier to kind of pound out like 30 pages instead of 120.
Yeah, Paul had his own show called NTSF that was great.
Oh, yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Good.
I remember that. That was so funny. All right, so the podcast is called How Did This Get Made?
Yes.
And that's wherever you get your podcasts, Earwolf, iTunes, whatever. You have a new podcast called Unspooled as well.
That's super fun. We actually watch great movies on that. So we're going down the AFI top 100 list of films. And I'm doing it with this film critic, Amy Nicholson, who's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And we're just like watching these great movies that I've never seen. Like, I don't know if you guys have like seen Citizen Kane. Like, I never saw Citizen Kane until I did this podcast. I'm like, oh, this is great. Or High Noon or E.T.
Allie, I just watched The Godfather for the first time this year,
sure did.
Paul.
See? But that's
here's the thing. It was perfectly fine.
Yeah,
and didn't love it.
But you know what? And that's what we're kind of finding. Like, what are we connected to that we think is great? Like, mm-hmm. I love E.T., but I wonder if you show that to somebody right now.
Yeah.
How much is that is built up into the fact that was my childhood? Yeah, my childhood.
I think E.T. holds up 100%. I think E.T. is brilliant today as it was the day it came out.
Wait till you get to The Holiday.
But just okay on God. That is interesting because Godfather is. Like, you know, viewed as being one of the seminal works.
Yeah, it took the Citizen Kane spot. It's now the number one movie of all time. Yeah.
Here's the best thing is like when we're doing this list, number one movie on IMDb, number one movie of all time.
Green Mile?
Shawshank.
Yep. I knew it was one of them.
Wow.
Shawshank is number one on IMDb.
I knew it was one of them.
And Citizen Kane is like number 70. And then on the AFI list, Citizen Kane is number one. And Shawshank is 70. So it's
it just shows you how old the people are to make the list, right?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
All right, Slice is on all digital platforms. That's the Chance movie we were talking about. Yes. And Summer 03 is in theaters on September 28th. Paul, it's always a pleasure when you stop by
the
Kevin
Beach
Show.
Thank you so much. I love being here. It was great.
Thanks for your time.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Pedro Briseño, you guys, listening in Compton this morning, just picked up tickets to the Ohana Fest at Doheny State Beach. He may be the only Compton resident who's going to be out there seeing Eddie Vedder. But the festival's coming up at September 28th through the 30th. You can buy your tickets at ohanafest.com. We appreciate you listening so much, Pedro. Thank you. Hey, Allie's here with What's Happening. And since it's Friday, this is a very special one that we look forward to all week long.
Yes, we do this every Friday about this time. It is when we highlight songs that we put on our our playlist. Our playlist is called That's My Jam. And every member of the Kevin and Bean Show adds a song that they're into at the moment. It might be something brand new, might be something that came across their shuffle and they're like, hey, I forgot about that song. That's great. So we just want to show you all of our different tastes, because a lot of people don't know this. We don't pick the music that
what?
You hear here
what?
On K-Rock.
What?
I know
what?
It's shocking.
What are you talking
so
about?
Stop.
All I want to hear in my real life is Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, stop tweeting us about songs you don't want played over and over. Not our fault, really, at all. But we respect it. So if you go to our socials, at Kevin and Bean, you can click on the That's My Jam playlist, give it a follow, and every single week you're going to have new music from everyone here on the Kevin and Bean Show in your ears. Kevin is not here today, but he did choose a song. It is Nile Rodgers and Chic, and the song is called Sober.
I was surprised that that was Kevin's pick. He is not a disco guy.
Mm-mm. No, the other day, didn't he say, when did disco end? And we were like, all right.
Well, apparently never.
Right.
Yeah. If Chic is still around. But Nile Rodgers, man, what a talent.
Amazing. Just amazing. Bean, you're up next.
For the first time in 15 years, Brody Dahl has put out a song as a member of the Distillers. That band broke up, you know. Then she went off and did a couple of other things, including a solo record. But the band is back together again, and I love them so much. What was that song we used to play, Chip, all the time by them?
City of Angels.
City of Angels was a great song, yeah. And we played some other songs throughout the years. Their new one, though, after 15 years, is called Man vs. Magnet. Here's New Distillers. Drain the Blood was another one we used to play that I used to love, too.
But oh, that was my bar mitzvah theme.
I am glad that they are back. It's good to have them on a playlist again.
Excellent. Well, Jensen, we knew you would be filling in for a couple days this week, so we wanted to hear your pick as well.
Mine is a kid whose real name is Kevin O'Neill, but goes by Lil Zubin, L-I-L-Z-U-B-I-N. He's from Philadelphia, 29 years old. And he's sort of a sad guy. Are you looking at me like they didn't change it?
Okay, let's see if this is it.
Either way, let's see. I'll change it because, anyway, let's see what this is.
Nope.
No, but it's okay. I changed it, but no one knows. That's okay, Bebo Baggins. Let's play that. Okay. I'll do a little bit. Yeah. That's Babe.
Listen, wondering why Kevin now went by Babio Baggins.
Bebo Baggins.
Okay, Bebo.
Bebo Baggins, who is, I first heard, did a collaboration with Drake that he leaked out. They, it's a gender neutral.
Okay.
Bebo Baggins. They, that's an incredible song that you can listen to now called Mice or Men.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of like a new take on country. Can we play it a little bit now that I feel like I know what it is? All right. Bebo Baggins. It's kind of a cool pop take on country music.
Okay.
They started in hip-hop a bit, and now we're going towards pop country, which is a very strange transition.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
yeah, you
have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together here, because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
Well, yeah. Little Zubin's also good.
You do hear a little picking, like on a banjo.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got a little country in it.
Excellent. Well, my pick is a guy that I randomly saw at a wine and cheese event in Park City. And my friend was in charge of getting somebody to come and perform. And I don't know if she was like, let's F up these Utah people. But she's like, I brought in this guy. He's got tattoos on his neck, all over his arms. But he has this sound. It's like this New Orleans, like swamp rock, bluesy sound. And he wound up being one of my absolute favorites. His album from 2006 called Change in the Weather, to this day, is an album I will listen from start to finish. His name is Eric Lindell, and his new album came out this week. It's called Revolution in Your Heart. And this is just a little taste of what he sounds like. It's a song called Appaloosa.
I can't wait to hold your hand.
telling you, when this guy gets going on the guitar, it is, it's boner inducing. It's real good, but it's like an Americana blues type of feel. But he's just like a Northern California dude that went to New Orleans and was like, yeah, I'm staying here and I'm making music. And he's really great. So all of those songs are on our That's My Jam playlist, linked to our at Kevin and Bean Facebook and Twitter. So go over there and give it a follow. Some birthdays for you. Some great people like Beer Mug. And that's what's happening.
Very excited about this. Everybody ready for some poop talk?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, American Vandal Season 2 debuts today on Netflix. Season 1, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, nominated for an Emmy. We'll find out how that goes on Monday. Dan and Dan Lagana, showrunner and executive producer, and Perol, co-creator and executive producer from American Vandal, join us in the studio right now. Hey, boys, how are you?
Thanks for having us. We're huge fans of the show.
Well, thank you very much. I'm sorry that Kevin is out sick today, so you don't get a chance to see him, but we're delighted
right in
front
to have of me. You. I'm literally sitting right here.
It was rude, Jensen.
It was rude.
We're so sorry you have to see Jensen today instead of Kevin.
So, guys, I don't even know where to start. The dumbest TV idea ever was American Vandal Season 1, yet somehow you've managed to top it with Season 2. It's a miracle. It really is. How did the whole thing begin? Where did season one even come from?
It came from an apartment where I was living with three other guys, and I just threw on Making a Murderer while doing laundry, and I'm like, we got to do a stupid version of this. And then I live with my co-creator, so I walked literally 5 feet to his bedroom, and I'm like, hey, what are we going to do? What's the dumbest thing? And so I think we always knew that those would be our two major dumb jokes.
Well, and you save poo for... two, which
of
was
course.
Smart.
Oh, yeah.
So smart.
That was strategic on number two.
I mean, when you had that idea and you walked 5 feet to the room, did you ever think you'd win a Peabody?
Exactly. All Peabody winning shows were developed like in your boxers, in your apartment.
Yeah. You're so Massachusetts. You just made Peabody Peabody.
I can't with you.
No, both of us.
Good Lord.
Yeah, we're both Peabody.
Tony yells at us when we say that. I'm like, we're Massachusetts.
It's Peabody.
That's what it is. It's Peabody.
One quick radio note. Unfortunately, we can't refer to penises by that euphemism. Oh. I know it sounds like a really dumb rule, but that is a rule. So just for future reference. So the first season was all about tracking down who was drawing penises all over.
Yep.
So season two, you come back with poop. And I got to tell you, there are indelible scenes in movies and television shows that you will never, ever, ever get out of your mind. Like Sacha Baron Cohen being sucked up into an elephant. I mean, you see it once and you know it's...
Jim Carrey being, right?
It wasn't Jim. It was the other one. In Dumb and Dumber, that poop scene? That's what I'm going
with. I'm thinking about Jim Carrey in a rhino. Anyway, this is getting off topic.
Sacha Baron Cohen goes into a elephant.
Oh, in the dictator?
Yeah, no, right. In a...
All right.
Sorry.
My point is, Jensen, you're fired. My point is,
leaving.
The brownout, which is when a school body gets diarrhea all at once and has no place else to go, is the grossest thing I've ever seen on film. So congratulations, gentlemen.
Oh, thank you. That means
tough day filming?
Yeah, for sure. You and I both got poop on each other. I don't think for the brownout, but for one of the other poop crimes, the poop flings in a way that, like, was like far reaching and went over to Video Village, and we had poop all over our clothes for one of the shoot days.
There was one reenactment where I had to try to, the prop guy was having trouble getting poop in one of the teacher's mouths, and I had to take a knee and make the shot.
I mean, for America. You're
the Colin Kaepernick of poop.
Yes. Now, what did you use as the poop?
This was a long process in developing the right consistency of the poop. Also, color is a huge deal.
Absolutely.
Two poops are alike.
Amen.
And so the props department just spent weeks developing the right type of kind of clay substance to make it work. But big shout out to our colorist, Shane Reed, for making each poop like color differently, because, again, it's never going to be the same shade of brown.
I will say this about when the trailer came out, I watched it, and it was with such glee that I sent it to Omar from the show because he loves everything poop. And I said, I need this whole trailer to play on the show because it's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. Kevin and I were in instantly. This one, Bean was like, it's too much.
I'm not a poop fan, but here's what I'm going to tell you. This is the ultimate compliment is despite the brownout, despite how painful that was, and despite how it burned my retinas, I love this show, and I've only seen the first two, but I can't wait to see the rest of it because it's so funny. Look, you've got this Catholic school where somebody spikes the lemonade. There's no spoiler alert here, right? It's in the trailer. So everybody's pooping, and that's what the whole show is about, is trying to figure out who's the turd burglar, as they call him.
Yeah.
It's insane. And our friend Adam Ray, by the way, plays the investigating officer. We're so happy to see him in that. It was great.
Yeah. Adam was great. I mean, the truth is, we're mystery first. I know we're making a lot of poop jokes, but the first 2-3 weeks in our writer's room, we just talk about writing the most compelling crime possible.
Yeah.
So we will pull you in with the dumbest idea you've ever heard and then somehow find a way to make you care about it.
I will tell you this. I finished it. Was I expecting to cry? Sure wasn't. Did I? Absolutely did.
That makes us feel
the
so
last
good.
5 minutes of this, I was just like, oh, God, you guys, this is amazing. It is. You forget that the story is about poo, and it just becomes about students and things that they go through and things that they're faced with that I wasn't faced with back in the day between, you know, the relationships with other students and relationships with social media that plays a big part in this. It was so well done. I'm going to say right now, I feel like maybe I didn't laugh as much as I did in season one, but I felt more in season two. And I like to feel you guys.
Yeah. Well, that's a huge compliment. Yeah. I'll take it.
It was great.
Yeah. We take a lot of pride in those final monologues, those final moments where it kind of all ties together.
Yes.
And Tony Ascenda, the co-creator, directed all 8 episodes. I mean, just kills all these moments.
It's
all these
really
moments.
Good.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys this. We're talking with the executive producers of season 2 of American Vandal on Netflix now. If Netflix did not exist, if we didn't live in this golden age of television on demand, would somebody else have made this show, do you think?
Probably. And part of the thing...
He's like, absolutely.
He's like, I'm the co-creator.
He's like, very good agents.
Absolutely. Yeah.
On CBS right after Hawaii Five-0.
Yeah.
Ironically, this is a CBS studio show, and it's, I think, their first poop and penis show. But I will say this, like, we thought that we had to do this idea, get this out really quickly, because true crime was a huge deal, still is. Mm-hmm. But you think about Making Murderer, The Jinx, Serial, all came out within about a year of each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so Tony and I were like, not only do we got to do this, we got to do this fast while this is still a thing. But luckily, it didn't go away, and true crime is actually bigger now than it was when we started, and so we have more and more documentaries to draw from.
Yeah, our influences are all so much smarter than us. Like, we talk about Errol Morris all the time, and yeah.
Yeah. This takes some turns, you guys, this show. I'm telling you.
Well,
I did not see any of this coming.
I'm very sorry that my co-host Kevin is not here today, because he is going to be hearing sound bites from this show for a long time. And thank you so much for naming one of the major characters Kevin. But let me play a couple of my favorites from American Vandal.
So Kevin, he's like one of those guys who's constantly doing an impression of a smart guy.
I mean, that's our Kevin, too. I love
perfect
it.
Perfect for Kevin.
This is one you'll be hearing forever on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Why did Kevin poop his own pants?
Perfect again for Kevin as well.
And this one?
Kevin likes the attention. That's why he acts the way he does.
I mean,
right?
Yeah.
It's all very good.
Thank you so much for all the Kevins.
Of course.
So tell me how it works the day the Emmys are announced and you guys are up for outstanding writing. You get a phone call? Are you up watching? Or how does it work?
Well, that came in the form of an email.
Yeah.
And we were thrilled. I mean, it's a group process. Dan Lagana does an incredible job of running the writer's room. And,
I mean, the writing of the show it's pretty crazy. I mean, if you saw one of our scripts, it's like all of it. Insert the Instagram messages, the tweets, the insert drone shot, and then the scene work all in between. So it looks like we're doing something really silly, but when you dissect it, there's a million little pieces, and it all kind of starts in that writer's room.
Yeah.
So what a fun and nice nod to get.
Now, will we not find out till Monday whether you won, or is yours one that has already been announced in the pre-Emmys?
No, we didn't win. No, sorry. No, I'm just kidding. We don't have no idea.
Oh, you don't know
yet?
Yeah,
no.
I believe you, Dan.
You know what?
Real turn.
Way to be optimistic, Dan. We must have been raised by the same parents.
So are you guys going Monday?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we're all there.
Who's the favorite in your category?
What is it?
They have
Versace
looked at the
thing?
Odds. It's probably that.
Yeah.
Oh, Ryan Murphy.
I know.
Doesn't he have enough?
That's what I'm saying.
Are you up against Atlanta?
No, we're limited series.
Okay, good. I was going to say, because Atlanta's going to beat you.
We love Atlanta.
It's going to beat you.
Look, I know that the vast majority of people have not even had the chance to start season two yet, so I want you guys to be able to enjoy the launch. But I have to ask, now that you've done penises and now that you've done poop, I mean, is season three vaginas or what?
Oh, it's a fair question.
We get that one a lot.
I mean, I feel like that's where we're all headed. Have you thought about it?
Is it?
Yeah. At least one of us won a Peabody in this room.
Well, we know what it is. We just can't say it.
Oh, you know what it is.
Yeah, we've been already talking about season three. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But okay.
The big thing for us is just to keep evolving in between seasons.
Right.
Like, season two is so different than season
one. It really is.
You know, and I want people to tune in and be like, I can't believe these guys did this.
Yeah.
You know, so... Yeah, we're cooking up something good.
I know that people who like poop and that kind of comedy are already in when they see the commercial. But I guess what I'm saying is it's a great show even if you're not into the poop, like me, for instance. that's a real compliment that I was able to get past the brownout and enjoy and become involved in these characters. So you guys did a great job. Congratulations on
that. Thank you
so
much.
Thank you. That's so nice.
American Vandal debuts today on Netflix. Check it out. Ali has already binged, watched, and gives it 3 thumbs up, right?
I loved it
and
so much.
And 2 tearing eyes.
2.
She cried watching a show about poop.
I did.
That's great.
All right. Thank you, Dan. And thank you, Dan.
Cool.
Thank you. Do you think that last interview will bring more people to watch American Vandal or scare people away from watching American Vandal? Because I want to make sure they get the right impression that it's really good.
Well, I don't think poo keeps anyone away.
Okay.
Great.
I hope you're right there, Jensen. Yeah. I hope you're right. Hey, Disneyland tickets coming up, as we do every morning this week at 9 a.m. Stand by for that. Right now, though, we want you to keep it 100. This is where you text any K-Rock song, past or present, whatever you love. If we've ever played it and we still have it in our music system, we will play it for you. Here's an example of some of the songs you've chosen in recent weeks.
Oh.
I mean, there's some really good songs in there, plus the Crash Test Dummy. So whatever.
We did figure out yesterday that you have played Asher Roth "I Love College" before. You thought I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay,
that would be an annoying song to hear this early.
But for somebody, that's their favorite K-Rock song that they haven't heard in forever, and it just sounds good.
Throwing it out there.
So 1-800-520-1067. Text us right now, and you can keep it 100. Allie's here with what's happening.
Well, you guys know Modern Family is returning for its 10th season later this month. And the creators are hoping that the laughs aren't the only thing that draw tears. You guys, co-creator Christopher Lloyd told Entertainment Weekly that during the first half of the season, quote, we're handling some bigger life events in this season. We do deal with a death, which is certainly a topic that families have to deal with. And on television, it's not easy to do because that's a heavy subject. But at the same time, it would seem unusual for a family not to go through it. He's obviously not revealing who it is, but he promises that he or she is a significant character on the series. And the death will be a moving event and an event that has repercussions across several episodes. Who dies on Modern Family?
I think it's Manny.
No.
Yeah, I think they're going to hit Manny with a car.
No show is going to kill a kid.
He's not a kid.
Yeah,
man.
He's older now.
I know, but to us, he's a kid.
Well, sweet Manny.
Manny.
Yeah. R.I.P. Manny.
No.
In our hearts forever. See you later, Manny.
I don't think it's going to be one of the main, like, 8 or whatever it is.
I think it's the Manny. He's for sure gonna die.
I don't hate it.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace.
Oh dear.
Goodbye, Manny.
I don't know. A significant character on the series.
Manny's significant as hell.
Right, but I'm saying it's not going to be one of the main characters. It's going to be somebody who is a frequent guest star. I don't watch the show enough to know who they are, but I'm sure they interact with other people who are relatives and friends and neighbors and things like that.
I will tell you right now, you kill off Fred Willard, I will never watch your show again, Modern Family.
Well, don't worry, it's Manny.
Okay.
They're going to have a little baby Manny casket. It's going to be more than a normal casket.
What's wrong with you? You are really into Manny's death. I don't like it.
Well, get used to it, guys. Ratings juggernaut.
I don't know how I feel about any of this right now. Just wanted to do a story. I'm not sure what's happening. Guys, I'm going to do a little quiz coming up in just a little bit, which fascinates me. And the only person that can be a part of it is Jensen, because Bean sent it to me.
Okay.
But it's all about Oscar speeches. And, you know, everybody gets up there and they're full of thank yous. They want to thank their parents, the Academy, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Who has received the most thank yous in Academy Award history? We're going to discuss that coming up. That's a teaser, bitch.
It's a good one.
Thank you. When we come back, we'll talk about that and have your Keep It 100. But first, some birthdays for you. Melissa Leo, Nas, Andrew Lincoln, Sam Neill, and our very own beer mug.
Yay!
Kids were delayed on that, but happy birthday. And that's what's happening.
All right. Anything goes, you guys. It's time to Keep It 100.
I got to keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
Every Friday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, just before 9, we invite you to pick the song, anything we've ever played on K-Rock. And we, if we still have it, we'll play it for you. Here's what we just missed this time around. Steve from Azusa was texter number 99. He wanted Sugar by System of a Down, which, by the way, may still be my favorite System of a Down song. I would not have been mad at that at all.
Okay.
And texture 101 was Rachel out in the 909. Going old school, Allie, you would have enjoyed One Step Beyond by Madness.
Oh, love it.
It's a pretty great choice there, but maybe another week. Brad in Covina, however, was texture 100, and he joins us on K-Rock right now. Hey, Brad.
Yo, bong bong.
Bong bong to you as well. What is going on with you today, young man? What are you up to?
You know, just working, living the dream.
Where do you work? What kind of work do you do?
I work for Dewey Pest Control.
Oh, okay, and cool. And you get to listen to K-Rock at work.
I do. I drive around and listen to you guys all morning.
Hey, Brad, while we've got you, I have these weird bugs recently. It looks like they're almost like a silvery color, and they're like long and thin.
Silverfish.
And they're crawling around on the ground?
Yes. Yeah.
Silverfish.
Yeah, silverfish. During heat, tell me if I'm right or wrong, because I could just join Dewey Pest Control at any point in my life if I'd like. This happens during weather changes. It's like they look for refuge, no?
Yes, but most of the time you get them when you have a water leak or if you have like a crawl space in your house.
There you go.
If I had a roof that was leaking for about 8 months? Would I have gotten them then?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, this makes sense now.
Is it likely they will band together and attack Allie in her sleep?
It's like Joe's apartment?
No.
Okay.
No. All right.
So thank you, Brad.
Any other pest control questions, Allie?
That's
you good?
It. Yeah, silverfish, you're saying.
All right,
okay.
Brad, how did you come up with the song you chose?
You know, song was epic in high school. Came up on the iPod Shuffle, and then I figured, you know what? It's not Crash Test Dummy, so it's good for Friday.
Yeah. All right. Brad from Covina, he is a texter 100 for Keep It 100. Why don't you introduce the song for the K-Rock audience?
Yes. I just want you guys to know, happy Friday, and here's Sponge with Molly.
Seen you naked in the bath. Cigarette stains on your ass. Wilted flowers in a vase. I ask, how are you? Yeah, how are you? I see you lifting on your glass. I see you drunk, I start to laugh. I find your note, the letters red. You're saying, I love you. Yeah, I love you. Don't ask why. Candles down the drain. I wiped the bed down for a while.
down the drain. Candles down the drain.
There it is on Keep It 100. The band is called Sponge. Now, that was a tribute kind of to 16 Candles, I assume, right? The song is called Molly, and then in parentheses, 16 Candles Down the Drain. It's got to be related, right, I would think?
Yeah, unless
sure.
It's about ecstasy.
Which it is also, Jensen. Listen to this. It's a story about a girl who fell in love with one of her teachers right before her 16th birthday and then tried to kill herself with an overdose of ecstasy.
Hey, there you go.
So a little bit of both. Allie, every week on Keep It 100, we ask you to test your memory, test your era.
Yeah, it was definitely mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to go... Mid-90s, 1995.
Boom!
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You got it, first chance. No one heard you yell for it last minute. No one. Absolutely nobody.
That was the biggest song from the band Sponge. It's called Molly, 16 Candles Down the Drain. Sounded great. Again, thank you so much to Brad from Covina. He is our Keep It 100 texter, and we'll do it again next week here on K-Rock.
Keep It 100.
Allie?
Yeah?
Final look at what's happening.
Let's do it. Shall we?
Yeah, is this going to be the Cypress Hill one? Because I've been jonesing to hear that again.
Yes, we played it a few hours ago. Cypress Hill is returning with their first album in 8 years. It's entitled Elephants on Acid. It's due out September 28th through their new label home on BMG. And they released a song this morning called Crazy. And it is awesome. So my mind's so high, no, I can't tell if I'm in a dream.
So happy they're back.
Yes.
So happy.
Got a Dr. Green Thumb vibe.
It is so good.
Very much so.
So good.
And I asked earlier because I was surprised to hear the lady singing on it. We did a deep dive on that. What did we find out about her?
Well, I texted Eric Bobo, and he said her name is Brevi.
All right.
That's all I got.
We don't know where she's from?
No, nope. Okay. She has very few followers on Twitter trying to figure it all out.
I did a small dive, and she's very connected to Cypress Hill. She's been working with them for a while.
Her voice is incredible.
Yeah,
I love that. I can't wait for that.
I like it so very much. They've got some shows coming up in L.A. and tomorrow out in Ontario. That's an okay lineup. What was it?
It was Wu-Tang doing 36 Chambers, Snoop Dogg doing Doggy Style. You have Bone Thugs and Harmony, Cypress Hill. You have Afro Man, who has that one song that probably is used at every Smokeout concert.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of other people, too.
Unreal. Be real. What?
Great, it's be so real. Dumb. Great American Smokeout. Tomorrow, 7 p.m., Citizens Business Bank Arena in Ontario, if you want to check it out.
Good stuff. Before, I had teased you guys that, you know, Oscar speeches full of thank yous. Award winners get up to the stage. They start rambling. They're thanking their parents, the Academy, all those people. But they did a deep dive, and they found out how many people from the stage thanked the people on this list.
Okay.
So give me some guesses. I just have the top 10 for you here.
I'm going to say one you don't want to hear, but Harvey Weinstein's been thanked way too many times at the Oscars.
He has been thanked 34 times. That he came in at number two. Yeah. Absolutely.
May I take a guess?
Yes.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yes, Earth, Wind, and Fire. People were like, do you remember? And everyone's like, yes.
I have Emmanuel from the
Emmanuel Lewis, Webster.
Yes, yes.
Just out of the top 10.
Ari Emanuel.
No,
oh,
but
wow.
Super Agent, right?
Yeah, Super Agent to the stars.
That's a good guess.
Yes, very good guess.
Michael Ovitz, Steven Spielberg.
Well, you got to pick one.
Okay,
which one
Spielberg
is it?
First.
Of course, number one,
right.
Steven Spielberg with
that
42.
He's been thanked more than anyone else ever at the Oscars.
That's crazy.
That's interesting to me.
I mean, he's won so many as a director or producer. So.
Yeah, I think he's just worked with so many people and people that would say either A, he gave me my start, or people that say I was so inspired by him.
All right,
makes
I have a
sense.
Guess.
Okay. NoHo Hank. NoHo Hank will be thanked at the Oscars and the Emmys and probably the Grammys because he's the greatest character on Barry ever.
I will go with, I feel like Ron Howard or Brian Grazer. I'm going with Brian Grazer.
You would be incorrect on both in the top 10, but both of them make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it
Fergie?
No, just out of the top.
Scorsese?
10. Scorsese is tied at number 10
okay.
with
oh,
15.
Okay.
Yes.
How about
Pablo the Dinosaur?
No, not Pablo the Dinosaur.
Could I interest you in?
And I'm comedy legend Ted Danson.
Nope, I wish.
How about
Johnny Utah?
Mm-mm, although should be, right?
Woody Allen?
Woody Allen, not in the top 10.
Okay, I can just keep going with disgraced people.
Right. Okay.
This is Groucho Marx.
Roman Polanski?
I see what
Bill
you're doing.
Cosby? Is it Bill Cosby on there?
Neither of those in the top 10.
At this point, why don't you just
give it to
us for us, Allie?
All right, top 10. Martin Scorsese tied with Saul Zaintz. I don't know who that is.
Oh, he's, yeah. He's a producer, yeah.
Okay.
Saul Zaintz?
Wasn't he the Fantasy Records guy, too?
All right.
Good name, though.
Number 9, Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh, sure.
I should have said that.
Tied with Barry Osborne. Okay.
Don't know him. Okay.
Number 8, Sheila Nevins.
Okay.
Must be a producer.
Yeah, producer.
Right.
Number 7, Fran Walsh.
Oh, that's James Cameron's producing partner, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number 6.
No, Peter Jackson's partner.
Yes, correct.
Right.
Correct, yes.
Lord of the Rings.
Number 6, God.
Oh, I thought we were going with like people in the audience. Well, maybe God is in the audience. We just don't know.
Hello.
Maybe God is one of us.
What if?
You.
Is it is Jesus separate on the list, or is that encompassed with God?
People don't thank Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
No, they thank God.
All right, so God. All right.
Is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on the list? Come on.
What about Santa?
Number 5 is Peter Jackson, which makes sense with Fran Walsh. Number 4, George Lucas.
Oh, I thought you were going to say George Lopez.
George Lopez.
I want to thank George Lopez at the Oscars.
Now I need someone to thank
someone
George Lopez.
Someone has to say, thank you, George Lopez. Thank you, God, before God, George Lopez.
But George Lucas.
Yeah, okay. I don't know.
I don't,
That's weird, because the Star Wars universe is not rich with Oscar wins.
No.
Yeah, or batteries not included.
Odd.
Yeah.
Number 2, James Cameron. We
didn't that would have made
that
makes a lot of sense.
Titanic.
Makes sense. Yeah. And number 2, Harvey Weinstein. And number 1, Steven Spielberg.
Harvey Weinstein. Wow. He won't be thanked anymore.
No.
Well, you know what?
You never know.
No. Oh, the way this world works.
Yeah.
We ever think Mel Gibson would be back up there making movies?
You never know.
You never know. Well, this is about the time that Kat would come in and tell us cool things that are happening all over Los Angeles, Orange County. But she is traversing the world because that's what Kat does. I don't know what happened with Smashing Pumpkins, but she got on a plane right after. She's like, I'm leaving the country.
Yeah, she said she told us she's going to see a band called the Red Hot Chili Pipers.
She is.
Which is a cover band that obviously
smoke pipes.
No, they play bagpipes.
Oh, okay. Oh, that makes more sense than what I was thinking.
All right, so what are we doing instead with Cat in Scotland? What instead?
We've got Chip that has something cool in Orange County.
Allie, hockey is coming soon.
Yes, it is.
And coming up is the Ducks' 25th anniversary season. Mm-hmm. So this weekend, starting at 10 a.m. Saturday, they're doing 25 hours of hockey.
Oh.
So between 10 a.m. Saturday, going through 10 a.m. Sunday, ending with the Ducks' scrimmage, there's hockey games going on all day long. And I'm playing at 1 a.m.
On Sunday night at the Honda Center.
Yeah, Sunday morning at the Honda Center, 1:15 a.m. My hockey podcast, Totally Offsides, we teamed up with Anaheim Calling, which is another podcast. Mm-hmm. We have two teams, and we're going to play at 1:15. It's free to go. Concessions will be open. You can go eat and everything. And they're asking if you can bring
pillows,
blankets, snuggies, and toiletries, travel-sized toiletries for home. What is it called?
Homeless people?
Yeah, it's for homemade Orange County.
And what are they called? Homeless people?
No, it's for homemade Orange County. They're making care kits for the homeless.
That is awesome. That's very nice.
So 25 hours hockey. It's free at the Honda Center.
Wait, 25 hours?
25 hours. It's 25 hours of hockey.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I don't,
continuous.
It's a lot of hockey.
I know I'm playing at 1:15 a.m. Sunday morning. If you don't want to get up, all the games are live streamed at AnaheimDucks.com.
Look at you.
Very cool.
So you can go watch me. You can watch me play.
Awesome. What about you, Jensen? Can I go to a cool art show?
You could. Tonight at Gallery 1988 in Los Angeles at 7308 Melrose Avenue. From 7 to 9 p.m., there is an opening reception for two artists. One is Dan Mr. Toast Goodsell, who you may have seen his work before. He does very cute toasts and pieces of pizza and all these adorable little characters. And Todd Bot Webb, both of them. All original artwork is $30 or $50. So you can never tell anyone that you can't afford art anymore. 7 to 9 p.m. at 7308 Melrose. I'll be stopping by as well.
Your place puts on some of the best art shows.
Thanks.
And some of the most, like, insane ones that you would never think ever would happen.
We try to do as much first-time buyer. If you're looking into art and you're too intimidated by the stuffy art galleries, we're for you.
Jensen, that first artist that you mentioned, did he do a painting of a happy piece of toast?
Yes, that is him.
I have that hanging on my front porch.
There you go.
On your front porch?
I do. That's what you see when you approach my door is the happy toast right there.
You know, it might not hold up for the weather, but it sounds like a good idea.
The guy that lives here loves bread. People think, and he's happy about
it. This guy here, into carbs.
I love it so much. I bought art from your gallery.
Oh, cool.
Harold and Maude art.
Yes, that's right. You do love Harold and Maude.
Oh, I love Harold and Maude so much. I'm a 90-year-old woman. I'm really convinced
you are Maude.
I might be. Oh, good stuff. You guys, some birthdays for you. Andrew Lincoln, Nas, Melissa Leo, Sam Neill, and our very own beloved, we adore him, Beer Mug. Happy birthday. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. Jensen, thank you so much for filling in for Kev Dog the last couple of days.
Stoked to do it.
Hey, on your drive home today at 5 p.m., listen to Stryker's commercial, Free for All. It's a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal helpful Honda dealers. We got some fun stuff coming up next week here on the program. Our friend Joel McHale is going to be back, RJ Bell, Christopher Titus, the comedian, and more. Have a great weekend.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Dear white people, wow.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. It over to me.
What they do?
Roll another one.
Oh, Jesus, Bean.
Just like the other one.
I'm Kat Corbett, and I'd like to turn you on.
This one seems to be about
quit. That's a woman for you.
And I need another hit.
I see it every day, and I think, well, look at the size of that chubby there, you know? It's a lot of poop.
That I can listen not only to you speak, but those, how?
I feel like this is a trick question.
Just like the other one.
I'm sorry, the question again, Dave?
This one seems to be about defense.
So there's that.
And I don't have.
I really believe that if Jesus was physically on the earth today, he wouldn't be riding the donkey.
Avocado hands.
Just passing around.
I ain't got time for that.
And don't bogart that joint, my friend.
God damn it! You two need to go to hell.
Just pass it on down.
I don't know, but I do know that the session is over, and so we'll have to pick this up next time.
It's tough for you to have to look at that watch, isn't it? It must be a little awkward. Why didn't you put a clock behind me so you could have a clock, you know, when the time's up? But
nevertheless,
okay.
It is over, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next week.
Can't all be winners.
Yeah, but some of them should be.
It's the
Radian Durf.